You walk through a garden in the springtime or in the fall, and you see some wide varieties of colors, fragrances that are just absolutely beautiful. Help us, Lord, walk about Zion and see the beautiful flowers that grow there, and the beautiful talents and the beautiful personalities. Thank the Lord for the talents and the Church of the Living God. Have a question to begin with, rather a simple question. In your particular understanding and knowledge, do you know of any other species of animal, and for the sake of that statement, creation of God, including man, do you know of any species that keeps family records and ancestries other than man? I never thought about that before. Now, people keep ancestries of thoroughbreds, of animals that they breed, and they can tell you that horse was sired by so-and-so, who was sired by so-and-so, but the horses don't do that, do they? And the cows don't do that, do they? Never seen a chicken with a family tree that it made itself. It's kind of a strange thought when you think about it. Because you see, this world would tell us that we're all descendants of some type of cosmic blast. Some way or another, something happened to man and he developed a little different. Everything else kind of developed along the same set of rules. I believe God is interested in ancestry. I believe he's interested in families. And I believe that God had real purpose other than just knowing who the high priest was going to be when he had the Jewish nation keep such accurate logs of their lineage. The Lord created mankind. The Lord created mankind unique from all other species that he created. He said, "Let us make man in our own image." And Jesus said that God is a spirit. And God breathed into man the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Unique, eternal. Never intended to die, but even after the consequences of the fall, still eternal life was in the heart and the bosom of man, either eternal death in hell or eternal life in heaven. So I want to talk a little more today about some of the things we talked about last Sunday, and that's the family of God. I find anything God is interested in, you and me should equally be interested in it. And things that God has set forth in his word for our understanding, I believe God himself wants us to have an understanding of it and a grasp of it and an importance of it. You think about, let us make man in our own image. And so God created man. And I don't know all the thoughts that God had, but it was summed up when God looked upon it and he said, it was good. Just think, God was pleased when he created mankind. He looked on mankind with our uniqueness and our diversities and possibilities and a spirit that we possessed and said, it was good. We read last week in Colossians 1 and 16, for him were all things created, all things were created by him and for him. We've really digressed in life from that idea. Now we live in a society that thinks man is his own cause, and we believe that it's all created for us, and we've become very selfish with the idea of life. But all life was created by God and for God. And let's never forget that. Regardless of where you go in life, regardless of what you may encounter, remember this. God created you, and God created you for himself and not for our own purposes. But he did something different in man. We call it free will, free choice. We call it the ability to make our own destinies and our own choices about so many things that the animal world is just governed by instinct and patterns. To give unto man was the ability to create tremendous diversity in talents, to be able to articulate thoughts and to draw thoughts and to build thoughts, the ability to construct and to tear down, the ability to reason, the ability to devise things and come up with inventions that make life easier and more simple. I hope more simple. God created man in a uniqueness that was unlike anything else he created. And he gave man the prerogative of choosing right or wrong, obedience or disobedience. Now, when you think about man's free will, that in and of itself, and God had to know this, had tremendous liabilities. We could do wrong. As far as I understand, a horse can't do wrong. Now, a horse can aggravate you, but a horse can't do wrong. It's programmed, and it will be a horse and act like a horse, and it'll please God in doing that. But mankind was given the prerogative of yes and no, of reaching out beyond its own physical limitations to respond to its dreams, reach out for its appetites, to reason and understand what would help or please the flesh, and also to have a mind that was conscious of the existence of God, conscious of cause and effect, and of life and of death. Unique. Never come to me and try to convince me that we're just part of evolution. That really is a catch-all phrase. It'll never register in this man's mind that it all just kind of came about. I'm not thinking this morning, the message is not on evolution, of course, or against evolution. But it is about the Lord's will for a family and how he created us to be a part of him, unique in our diversities, integral yet with him as a personal Savior and friends and kinships one to another. So you think about it. I don't know of anyone else, any other creature that keeps a family tree. It's just unique to man. I believe that's because God put that in us. God made it to be so. After the fall we talked about last week, God had on his hand a major undertaking. Because man became prolific and they reproduced after their own kind. They reproduced after their fallen nature. They reproduced after their estrangement from God. And hence, they were no more created in the sense of holy, righteous, blameless, but they were created with self-will that usurped authority over right and wrong, and they followed after that. So now, God's creation, whom he loves, his family, whom he loves, has displeased him, separated themselves from him, but yet God created, in his great love, took on himself the major, major undertaking of reconciling us back together. Now that's no minor feat. That's a major accomplishment on the part of God. We read in Genesis where Jacob was blessing his children, and he came to Judah, 49th chapter of Genesis. And when he blessed Judah, He said he was a lion's whelp, but he said the scepter, the authority, the leadership, the scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh comes. Now, there comes in the family tree, if you want to. From Judah, and we won't go through all of his children, and all his children's children, and children's children, but there finally became a time, in the fullness of time, there was a person by the name of Mary, and a woman by the name of Mary, and a man by the name of Joseph, who I understand were both of the house of Judah, whom God gave her the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost conceived in her, and Jesus Christ was born. And to him, to Shiloh, shall a gathering of the people be. Thank the Lord this morning that God desired to gather us home. Gather us together. And wow, what did he get? What a diversity. What a refreshing diversity. What a beautiful diversity. What potential in the diversity. What accomplishments God can fulfill in the diversity that he placed in his body. So then we read and thought about a little bit the scripture that said, Jesus said this. And I think it's the most, I've never heard an invitation that had so much hope, possibility, and work involved as when Jesus said, come unto me, all. Now, a bright hope, but a tremendous amount of work for the Son of God. How much work? It cost him his life. It cost him his blood. It cost him pain and separation from God for a season. It cost him the literal laying back of his back to the scourgers to be spat upon and all the indignation that befell him. When the Lord said, come unto me, all you that labor, he was taking in the myriads of mankind, the people across the world, bringing them home back to where they had been lost from. He said in 10th chapter of John, to him the porter openeth. Do you remember when the estrangement in the garden come, the angel was placed there with a flaming sword, and no one had right to the tree of life any longer. But Jesus said unto him, the porter opens. Now you and me have right to the tree of life. We have right to kinship with God. Hence, kinship with one with another. We read in Colossians, the first chapter, 19th and 20th verse, that Jesus Christ came to reconcile all things unto himself. Unto himself. Not to a movement per se, not to a set of doctrines per se, and there are identities, and I do not want to deny the identity of righteousness or a body of saints. But in essence, the Lord came to all mankind, thank God for this, to reconcile that which had been lost and deceived, taking its own liberties, its own ways, and to reconcile us back to himself. Then we read, and I thought this was, in my mind, important, is in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and the 12th through the 14th verse, it talks about by one Spirit are we baptized into one body. I believe the most important, one of the most important aspects of the plan of salvation is the Spirit of God. I think we can never underestimate the Spirit's operation, overestimate the Spirit's operation in the plan of salvation. The Spirit of God is the one who goes out, if you will, and convicts. He is the one that goes forth and testifies of. He is the one that comes to possess us after regeneration and to lead us into all truth. Without the Spirit intervening in us and with us, This call of come unto me would not have the effect God wanted it to. But by the call of the Spirit, the wooing of God, we are called into one body by one Spirit. Now as we come together as that body, various stages of, if I can say this, spirituality, of understanding maybe, of understanding of grace, I believe equally important to us is for the body of Christ to have the Spirit of God. To have the Spirit that will lead us, blend us, mold us, and shape us. That will make us what God wants us to be. Because you see, when He got you and me, we're going to this a little later, He got all of us. He got everything about me. Some of it He could use, and some of it He couldn't. Some was rough and had possibilities, and some was no more than dung, and He had to get rid of it. Same with you, and same with me. When God got you as His son and daughter, He got every bit of you. He took you with your pluses and your minuses, your liabilities and your assets. Come to me. The Spirit of God, I am convinced, is essential in the administration of the body of Christ. We are called by one Spirit. Gifts given, talents given, diversities of administrations are all administered by the one Spirit. Hence, the character, the focus, and the purpose of the body of Christ can be centered on Christ, the head, and on the purpose of Christ, because the Spirit is the one that leads and orchestrates and sets the members in order. Now, I don't know if you've ever, I haven't done a lot. That's a major undertaking. And we want to praise God for it. I don't know if any of us would have had the, first of all, the know-how, and certainly not the grace and the holiness, but none of us maybe would have had the, I don't want to mess with that, you know. We'd have just said, I can't do that. We want to thank God this morning for going forth and said, come unto me, all you that labor. Because see, if He would have qualified it, some of us, you or me, we might have been left out. Because we may not have met the criteria. But in Romans, He said He concluded us all under sin. Isn't that a wonderful thought? You may think, well, I don't like to be called a sinner, but praise God, God saw you as a sinner. He saw me as a sinner. He saw us in need of help. He saw us in need of reconciliation. He didn't leave anyone out. He didn't say, none of you are too bad. Some of you are just so good. You're just your own self. No. He concluded us all in need of help. I am so glad this morning. Now, as I begin to work inside the body of Christ, I don't want to forget some lessons like that. We all need help. We all have received the same invitation. Came in different ways, by different voices, as far as the hearing goes. It came based on what you and me relate to versus what someone else relates to. God uses our thinking process to call us, but every one of us received the same call. The work's not over with, though. The work's not over with. Paul said it this way over in Ephesians 3 and 14, 3 and 15. For this cause I bow on my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We're named the Church of God, the congregation of God, the assembly of God, the called out of God. We are identified with our Father who called us. And Paul said, I bow on my knees to the Father. Oh, Lord, help us today as Christians. Help us as children. Help us as part of that group that's been called out. Help us as part of that group that heard the joyful news, Jesus saves, Jesus saves, to bow on our knees to the Father and worship Him. To consecrate our will, our talents, and our time back to the Father. To give Him the due respect and honor and praise that He so justly needs and has coming to Him. By virtue of what He was willing to undertake for us. Think about it. Where were you? Where were you? Where were you? Where was I? Probably different places, different problems, different hang-ups, different sins, different attitudes, different ages, different sexes. All these things, appetites varied, what I wanted, what you wanted, what pleased you, didn't please me, on and on and on we could go. Some people are extroverted. Some people are introverted. Some people are scared of a mouse. Some people don't know what fear is, it seems like. And God said, come unto me. We want to praise God this morning for His great love wherewith He has loved us. And He said, I want to reconcile you. I've said this before, but it bears repeating. If I would draw 500 dots all over that board, and then if I would right in the middle put a star, and I'd say, those little dots represent, say, people. And the star represents Jesus. And star are little spots all over that board, some on the very perimeter of it, some maybe close to the center. And if I would say, okay, let's start moving those dots to the star. Have you ever thought what will happen in relationship to the dots? To each other. They can't help but get closer to each other. It's invariable that would happen. Because as the one in the northwest corner started going to the star, the one in the southeast corner started going to the star, they would both draw closer together. All the way around the board. Lord, help us. He reconciled us in Himself. And to Himself, not to our opinions, not to our foolishness, not to our personalities, but God reconciled us to Jesus Christ. Henceforth, He draws us all to Him and draws us closer one to another. That first song special was sang today. So true. The Apostle Paul wrote much about bearing one another's burdens. Strong, bearing with the weak, understanding one's difficulties, understanding one's liabilities and pluses, being able to work together to recommend one another, support one another, pray for one another. I want to advocate, I believe in that song, in the point of that song this morning. Pray one for another, He said, that you might be healed. Pray one for another. In life, we have all the criticism we need, don't we? Pray one for another. In Ephesians 4:4, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One of the other translations of the Bible, and I forgot to write which one it down, it is. It may be the NIV. Just as you were called in one hope when you were called. I'm thinking today that Jesus Christ called in hope. God the Father called in hope. Now, I know a case could be made for our hope, and I wouldn't disagree with that, but I'm convinced that the Lord was that all men would be saved. That's His will. That's His purpose. Consequently, He is desiring that all, hoping that all would be saved. And I believe God had one hope, to make us a family, to gather in the lost sheep, to reach out and bring families that have been separated by sin hearts that have been hardened by the lies of the devil, to wash us in His blood, in His Word, regenerate us and make us sons of God right here in this generation that we live in today. A hope of God was that He called us to be His family. I don't want to dishonor God for that. Lord, help me to appreciate what God has done. To appreciate, I can go out and look at them giant sequoias and redwood trees in California and I can say, praise God. What happens when you irritate me or I irritate you? What happens when we have a clash, and I don't mean a violent clash, but a meeting of the minds and we don't agree? One says, let's do it later. One says, let's do it now. One says, I'm afraid. One says, be brave. One can sing and one can't. On and on we could bring out diversity. Can I look at one another? Can we look at one another and say, praise God? You know we ought to. We ought to be able to do that. When a soul has been washed in the blood, even if he doesn't like what I like, praise God for him or her. Thank God, and I believe we do that. I truly believe that. We're a family, a very special family. Same Father. And God keeps a record. These are mine, he would say. When he goes to make up his list and his jewels, he said, these are mine, saith the Lord. He's got a list. The book of life is there. And the names that are found there have eternal life. Over in Matthew, the 12th chapter, in the 47th verse, we have some things in common. We have some things that are the same. Let's read one of them here. Matthew 12, 47. Well, I'm going to find it here in a minute. Okay. Maybe we'll start at the 46th verse. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with you. Jesus answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples. Lord, help him be able to stretch forth his hands toward us today. And said, behold, my mother. Behold, my brethren. Behold, my family. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. A characteristic of the family of God is obedience to God, is a submission of one's will to the will of the Almighty Father. First, he would have all men be saved. That's the first thing. But it goes on from there that in every facet of life, the children of God, the family of God, yields themselves under the will of the Father in hope, in trust, and in a knowledge of the genuine, immense love and care that he has for every one of us. So we find one of the things about the family of God is they are a family who obeys the Father. Now folks, I don't believe you can backslide so easy. And I believe in the chastening rod of God for a purpose so we don't backslide. Lord, help us as the family to walk in obedience. And when the rod of chastening is applied to our life, that we let it exercise us. That we let it purge us. That we allow it to have an effect in our life. so that we will always be and can be legitimate children of God and not illegitimate. The family, think about it. Come. But he got my toy. I saw a couple of the children today was kind of discussing the events surrounding a songbook. You know, we haven't really graduated that far from children discussing the matter of a songbook either sometimes. And aren't you glad for a heavenly Father that says, come here. You're my sons, you're my daughters, and I want to talk with you. Aren't you glad for a Father who cares and understands and knows us? I've got to deal with this one according to their personality, and this one's their personality, but yet they're both my children. Lord, help us then in our interaction with one another, that we see one another. That's my brother. That's my sister. They have been bought with the same price and received the same call. And oh, I love them. Now, some way or some way, we're going to make this thing in the Spirit of God work. And God does that. And it's a beautiful thing when you think about it. He said, beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. Nothing can compare to that wonderful Mount Zion. Over in Psalms 87, we find another aspect characteristic of the family. I could ask us today, where were you born? Well, I'd say I was born in Shreveport, Louisiana. What would you say? Everybody would probably have, some would have same answers and some would have different answers. You know, the Lord knows where we were born. He keeps real records of it. And there's only one record that he's encouraged in and really interested in. 87th chapter of Psalms and the 5th and the 6th verse. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. Thank the Lord for Zion, the church, the body, the kingdom. Thank the Lord this morning that people are born there and born in it. And it was established by God, for God and for us. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there. Think about it. Now, doesn't say think about it, but it says Selah. And to the best of our knowledge, it's a musical interlude that's a time for reflection. And that's the best translation people's come up with. Think about it. Think about what God did. Red and yellow, black and white. This and that man was born there. No longer judging by the color of the skin. This and that man had been blood washed, born again into the kingdom of God. What a wonderful thing God did. So we come into this family. And about the only thing we can say, now, if you differ with me, that's surely your privilege. But you know, when we come into this family, about the only thing we can say is, I'm forgiven and I'm saved. Not much more, really. Oh, some have maybe had a little lineage and some more training than others, but no. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor, enter in through the door, enter in through the blood, and yes, our sins are forgiven, and we are made new creatures, but we're basically forgiven and we're saved. Now the work begins. Now the molding, and now the shaping, and now the fitting together. He said the body of Christ, the church of God, is fitly framed together. Well, I've never seen a building that just started building and you didn't have to trim some. The Lord works on his people to fitly frame us together. He said in another place, he tempers the body. Thank God for that. Thank God for the tempering of the body so that it can portray with all of its array of talents and individuality, all of its whatevers, that it can be a structure to glorify God. And what does he use to make it out of? People. People. Red and yellow, black and white. That's what he uses. Some tall, some short. Some like trees, some like the desert. Some get in a hurry to do everything. Some, it's like a snail going down the road. And who did he use? Some can sing, some can't. Some can sing and won't sing. Some shouldn't sing as loud and they do sing. You know, God's got to work with that. He doesn't kick you out of the body. He tempers the body. He's given gifts and talents, and some of us are afraid to use the gift and talents, so he has to work with us. Some give gifts and talents, and they can't wait to demonstrate it. And Paul said, you're talking too much. Think about it. God's got all that to work with. And he loves every one of us. And he tempers us. My job, my responsibility, and yours is to submit to it. To the furnace, to the molding, to whatever direction God wants to use to temper me and you, understanding. None of us like trials. I think I could stipulate that for us all today. But thank God for trials. One songwriter said, if I didn't have trials, I wouldn't know God could heal them. Well, I think they go even deeper than that, though. I agree with that, but I think it's deeper than that. I think we suffer trials so we can understand each other better. I think we suffer trials, I mean, we could go on for a variety of reasons. But God wants me to understand you and you to understand your pew mate and your fellow traveler on the course of life. Unless I, as old Indian said, walk a mile in someone else's moccasins, I'm going to have trouble doing it, folks. And I'll never get so pious as to say, well, I understand it. No. We have trials many times, I believe, so I can understand you and you can understand me. We can understand one another. Things that you're not afraid of, I'm terrified of. What if one day you woke up terrified? I understand what Brother Stanley's talking about now. Just as a case in point. So we come into the family with strengths and weaknesses, probably more weaknesses than anything. A great variety is involved. Hence, the need of forbearance and appreciation. Again, I want to go back to that. Appreciate the price of the blood and appreciate the fact that your brother and your sister was washed in the blood. That's what we need to know about each other. In a family, sometimes we I don't know if this is going to sound right or not, we can know too much about each other. Because this way, we can hold it on one another or against one another. Or we can doubt one another. Now, I don't know how to, I mean, I'm not saying let's all be strangers, but think about it. If I know your weaknesses or your strengths, and we know each other very well, let's not let that be an occasion to borrow from Paul, an occasion to the flesh. But let's receive one another, not to doubtful disputation. Not to say, well, I know the last time, or I know how he... No, they're blood washed. They're blood washed. They're my family. God chose them out of sin and they responded. They're my family. The same God who loved me loves them. The same God who saved them saved me. The same Jesus that shed his blood for me shed it for them. They've been thought well enough of God to be blood washed. I've been thought well enough of God in the sense that he cared for us to be blood washed. I love them. I care. They're important. They're part of my life. There's a place in a body for discord by the very dynamics of a body. Paul said, James, I believe, said, let it not be once named among you. I want to borrow that. Let's not let discord ever rear its head without doing like Joab of old and told the lady that the city was besieged. He said, we'll spare the city, but I want the head of that man over the wall. Let's cut off discord's head. Discord's head. Let's cut off anything unlike God and throw it over the wall. Take the life out of anything that would cause us to devalue one of the blood-washed brothers or sisters. We're to be molded and shaped till we come, Paul said, to the stature of the fullness of Christ. Are you there yet? Am I there yet? Lord, help us to just love each other, appreciate one another. A little song that was on the radio a long time ago, 30 years ago, still singing some. He's still working on me. Probably you too. Let's be patient, long-suffering, consider one another, and continually be drawn closer and closer to God. I know time is a little later, so cinch up your belt a little bit. Kind of cut the hunger pains a little. I want to mention one other thought here. He said that in 1 Peter 2 and 9, we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. What for? That we should show forth the praises of him that called us. That's our purpose, isn't it? I know we know this. I'm just standing up before you, reminding you, telling you what you already know. We are here for one purpose and one purpose alone. We were saved to glorify the King. We were saved to show praises unto him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are called to be his children right here in this world, a peculiar people, a people called for a purpose, designed, dedicated to the Lord, to show forth praises unto him that had called us. I apologize that I haven't always been doing that. And God's come along and said, Stan. And I have to confess, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my brother, not my sister. Lord, it's me that needs the help. If we can develop that spirit, it's me, Lord, help me, help me, help me. We're going to draw closer to the star. We're going to draw closer to one another. May God help us to understand that, to see that. Over in 2 Corinthians is our kind of our last thought. It's in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. He said, walk about Zion. Oh, that we could understand Zion. See her strengths, her beauties, her bulwarks. In 2 Corinthians 6 and 14. He talks about concord and being unequally yoked together. Let's go on down to the 16th verse. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Ye are the temple of the living God. And they shall be my people. One of the characteristics of our life is to come out of things. Quit doing that which displeases the Father, that doesn't bring glory to his name. I've been talking to the young people and children at chapel at the Path of Life about the cross. And as you study something to teach others, you're probably going to learn things you didn't even know. Or things that you didn't know are going to be highlighted. And I have been talking the last 2 weeks about applying the cross to your life. Not the wood and the nails, but the blood and the man who hung there. Apply his purpose to your life. And one of the purposes is Jesus Christ came to change us, to make new creatures out of us. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. He said in Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything with God but a new creature. This morning, praise God, he wants to change us. He does change us. And we enter into the kingdom, he still is working on us. He said, wherefore, 17th verse, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I don't want to do any damage to anyone's thoughts here and how we've used this scripture. And we use it as come out of sectism, out of Babylon. We use it come out of sin. Rightly so. There's nothing wrong with using it that way. But I also want to think about this. Each one of us have our places that we could probably this morning say is not totally glorifying to God. I'm not speaking of sin. If sin be the case, yes. But you see, God called people. He didn't call angels, and he didn't call divinity. He called people with all of our needs. And he's asking us, as we're washed in the blood, he's asking us, first, we have to come out of sin. You remember I said earlier that when we come to the Lord and are saved, we are forgiven and we're saved. But we still got some things God wants to do with us. At least me. Come out. Come out. The charades of life, the fears of life. The little doors we hide behind. The things that hinder us and the fears that trouble us. They're not always sin. In a saint's life, of course, they're not. But they're hindrances. The things that would hurt fellowship. He said, come out. It's going to mess with my mind. Okay? You heard that saying in the word, you're messing with my mind. God will mess with your mind. Sure will. Because the mind is a critical aspect of who you and me, it's who we are. God wants to work with our mind. Sound mind, strong mind. So that we will be able to come out of places that we're hiding in or places that we are obscured in. Places that is contrary to the purpose of God that we're in. I don't know what to call them. It's just us. I'm not trying to belittle any of us because I'm right there probably at the head of the list on so many things. Paul said, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead, I count everything else but loss, dung, waste, that I may win him. This morning, we're part of something so beautiful. It's the Lord's doings. It's marvelous in our eyes. And he deals with us as people, as children, and he's not cutting us off. And he's not saying, get out of here. He said, I'll receive you as a father. I love you. This morning, bring our minds and our personage. Bring our self. I don't know how to say it. I really don't. consecration, dedication, giving. Lord, here I am. And not much, but here I am. Lord, I want your Spirit to live in me and to reign in me. Lord, I want to be such a wonderful part of the family of God. I want you to be pleased with me. I want you to be able to say, have you considered my servant? Be one of mine. Look here. I've written up my jewels, and look whose name's there. That God wants to temper us and bring our effectiveness maybe to a new height. I don't know how to say that. I entreat us this morning, the family of God. On this earth, there's nothing more precious, nothing more beautiful, nothing more divine than the family of God. God Himself did it. God Himself orchestrated it. This morning, I thank God for the family, for what it means to me and has meant to me. It's spiritual, but it's a bond and a binding together of kindred spirits and hearts. Now let's you and me say, Lord, I'm going to come out of everything. I'm going to divest myself of everything that would, and I'm not speaking so much of fellowship right now, but I'm going to divest myself of everything that's preventing me from becoming all I can be for the family. You pray for me.